Hi, this is Danny Walsh, and welcome to today's episode of In Focus. Today, I have two guests with me. We have from the Police Department, Officer Nick Soli. He's our Community Relations and Public Information Officer. We also have someone from the Fire Department. We have today our Operations Officer, which is Kevin Cardinale. And today, we'll start first with Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, how are you? Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming. Tell us about yourself. How long have you been here? What were your steps, and what is your position?
Okay. My name's Kevin Cardinale. I've been with the fire department for almost 28 years now. I started as a firefighter. I worked as a firefighter for 13 years, then was lieutenant for 8 years, then battalion chief for 8 years, and 6 months ago I got promoted to operations officer. My current role is to be the community liaison, public information officer, recruiting, kind of the face of the organization. If anyone needs anything from the fire department, I would be the contact, and then I can steer them in the right direction and get them what they need.
Great. Well, thank you, and I'm glad you're in this position. It's definitely
so
a good
am I.
Fit.
Thanks.
And we have our pro who's been in his position for a little longer than about 6 months. We have Nick Soli.
Yeah.
Thank you. How long have you been with the township? What have you gone through, and what's your position like?
Absolutely, yeah. So I started with Bloomfield Township almost 9 years ago to the day. Did a few years at another agency before that, so about 12 years total in law enforcement so far. Started on Midnight's Patrol and kind of transitioned into this role, which is Community Relations and Public Information Officer. I always tell people that's a fancy way of saying I bring the chief's message to the community, right? So I bring our police department's vision, our values out to the community. I let them know what's going on and keep them informed in what's important, what we think is important, and what fun things we're doing. So we try and get out in the community and be a part of our community.
And we also have a little friend that you take care of, Maggie. So yep. We have our canines, we have Vince, and we have Havoc that are really strong, the working dogs. And then we have Maggie, who's our sweet therapy dog, and you're actually her dad.
Yeah, so Maggie came to us about 2 years ago. I'm her dad. She is certified in therapy work, so she's our, I like to call her our community relations dog, but also our support therapy dog. So we do some fun stuff with that in the community, and we do some not so fun stuff when we take her, to sit in interviews with victims of sexual assault or violent traumas and things like that, or visits at places like Michigan State after tragedies occur. So it's been an asset to our department, and I love taking care of her, and she's part of our family, a part of the Bloomfield family now. So it's been different, I guess, not what I thought of 12 years ago when I signed up to be in law enforcement, that I'd have a therapy golden doodle coming to work with me every day, but we have a lot of fun doing it.
She's even helpful to those of us in the office sometimes when you're just, you know, somebody's up there and not happy and they sometimes lash out at the employees. We'll call down and say, hey, can you send Maggie up? we need some doodle time.
Yep. Right. She's a frequent visitor of the clerk's office during election season and things like that. So she does boost morale around the department, that's for sure.
And I have talked to Chief saying that it's not fair that one gets this cute little doodle, and it seems strange to not have a mascot in a fire department. I know some have Dalmatians, some have others. How come we don't have one?
Well, that's a good question, and maybe that's something I need to work on here in the near future. But just being new to the role, right. I'm learning a lot from my cohort, Nick, who is an amazing community liaison officer, right. And maybe one day we'll talk Chief Leroy into letting me get myself a Maggie or something like that to bring support to the community.
I think I saw some goldfish last time I stopped by Central.
We do have pet goldfish at Central that we rescued from a child that was injured at a fair, and we took the goldfish for him, and we ended up just taking care of him.
That's nice. Maybe we could get a Newfie Doodle or something.
We could. I'm in. I think we have the support of the township supervisor, so that's a good start.
So. Right. So you actually mentioned when you talk about Maggie having two faces of happiness and in our darkest time, both your positions do that same thing. You're at the HOA meetings, you go out to community picnics, and you're there for the fun times and to really help people know our services, but you're also there at their darkest hour, and sometimes people don't even know when that's coming or what's happening.
Absolutely.
So today what we're talking about with the Bloomfield Alerts, that's something that if you guys could highlight for us, that program, kind of where we used to have another one and this is our new, more improved let us know what this is.
Yeah, so I can talk from the police side a little bit, but Bloomfield Alerts is a collaboration between police and fire. It's really an emergency management tool is what it is. And it's just that. It's Bloomfield Alerts. It is emergency alerts that go out to our community. It's a voluntary system, so we're encouraging our community that wants to stay informed to sign up. And it gives us the opportunity and the ability to send out emergency alerts at the time of the emergency much quicker to our residents. So they can know, one, what the emergency is, what's happening in their community, and two, what to do, because we'll be able to put direction in there, whether it's shelter in place or whether it's evacuation, God forbid. We're able to put those types of things in the messages and reach an audience really quickly via text message, emails. There's an app for it, a lot of cool stuff that we can do with it to notify our community and keep them in the know, which is important.
Right. And this replaces our old one. So if people were on the old system, they need to re-sign up under this system?
Yeah, so we did have an older system on the police side, which was a lot more watered down than this system. So for an example, that system may alert you to a traffic crash at Long Lake and Telegraph that could affect your commute home. And you would get that as an email or a text message, but not necessarily an emergency, right? This system gives us a lot more opportunity to reach the masses. It's a little bit of an easier system. It's more cost effective to our residents, and it'll be used for emergencies. So that same example, that accident at Long Lake and Telegraph, you're probably never going to get an alert like that. It doesn't reach that level. But the tanker fire that we had a few years ago that fire handled so, mm-hmm. you know, so well, you are going to get an alert on that.
Right.
Why? Because if you stepped outside, you could see smoke billowing off of 75, right. And our community wanted to know. And when the community wants to know, they typically take steps to try and find out.
Right.
And that can be a number of ways, right? That can be social media. That can be calling 911. That there's all sorts of things they can do. And I think I talked with Kevin just last week when we saw what happened in Clinton Township. And I know just from personal experience talking to Kevin and searching social media, we had a lot of speculations, right?
We did.
Kevin and I were throwing out ideas
right.
of what we thought was happening
right.
or what we thought was on fire. And turned out a lot of it wasn't true. So
yes.
These alerts will be able to send out factual information on emergencies with factual direction of what you can do as a resident to stay safe.
And you mentioned before the other system made sense because now Waze can alert you. If there's an accident,
yes.
you have enough
yeah,
of these other apps that will reroute
absolutely.
You. The fear are these larger ones. And again, you hear, oh, my God, something's going on in Clinton Township. You do go to social media. You try and figure out what's happening. And there were so many stories.
Absolutely.
And another thing you definitely don't want is the 911 calls.
Yeah, so
definitely
the
not.
Emergency alerts, right? If people want accurate information, they call the police department. But if one of these emergencies is going on, Clinton Township saw it. 911 centers crash. They can only handle so much of a call load. So to call and say, what's going on? I heard this, is counterproductive to what we're trying to do in the event of an emergency.
Right.
Our dispatchers are focused so much on getting the fire departments where they need to go. In emergencies like this, it might not just be Bloomfield Township. We might be directing 3-4 different departments from our neighboring areas, police and fire. And they're taking phone calls from people that are impacted in the emergency. So this will be able to get the information out. It will give them that direction and hopefully prevent them from calling 911. And we don't shame them for calling. They're doing the right thing. They want accurate information and direction. And if they don't have anywhere else to turn, that's what they're going to do. So this will give us that opportunity to send it out to them and give them those steps they need to take without.
It'll help get that information
absolutely.
Out and make sure that for those of us that aren't involved in that, if God forbid something happens with, you know, somebody in our house that needs 911 to send out
right.
medical care, those calls will still go through because the 911 system won't be overwhelmed.
Right. Just because there's a major incident happening doesn't mean all the regular incidents that
right.
go on, medical emergencies, car accidents, those things are still going on. So if you can keep the air free, the 911 centers, so they can take care of those emergencies. And just to speak, Nick and I were talking on the phone during the Clinton Township incident. Well, I live about 2.5-3 miles from
oh,
that
wow.
incident. And Nick lives too far away to see, but I was on the phone with Nick looking at this big glow. And what I will say is it really gave a level of a little bit of anxiety, like, what is going on? It was something I'd never experienced, even being firefighter my whole career. And what would have been great is if I got an alert. This business, having a situation, there are lots of explosions. Just stay away from the area and you're fine. There's no need to evacuate. Here's where you can go to get more information. That would have been nice because, of course, when I'm home, I'm like a regular citizen in the community. I'm outside with my neighbors. Hey, what's going on? And we're all on. We have our phones on Facebook. And right. I even have a take-home radio. I was trying to scan to find if I could get onto their channel. But it would have been nice to have an alert saying, this is what's going on. You're fine. Stay away. And everything's under control.
Well, and you could hear the anxiety when you see the videos of people that were filming it saying, mm-hmm. I don't know what this is. And some people were crying on their videos because of that anxiety of not mm-hmm. knowing what's next. Is it something even larger? That having the, this is what it is, but even more so, it could say, if you live within this distance, due to safety of projectiles, please stay inside. Mm-hmm. And we can help save lives that way.
Absolutely. Well. I mean, we see so much negativity in our news cycles these days that I think we tend as humans to jump to negative conclusions, right?
Right.
And that anxiety is there. And to be able to just bring it down maybe a little bit with factual information. Again, these alerts aren't going to tell you every piece of information. We know there's going to be a lot of questions when we send this alert out, right? So an example might be, we have a large structure fire at Telegraph and Maple. Please avoid the area. You know, several crews are responding. There's no threat to our community at this time. That's going to open a lot of questions. What's on fire? I want to go look at it.
Right.
We encourage you not to go look at it. But please, please, we ask that just be patient with us. I think that between Kevin and I and the police and the fire and Bloomfield Township as a whole, we've embraced transparency, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we get that information out when it's appropriate and when we're able to. Because when that emergency happens, Kevin and I are either on our way in or we're here and we're going to a scene or we have to assess. Sometimes it takes us time to get information out because, again, we want to be transparent, but we want to be accurate.
Correct.
And we don't want to put information out there that's going to change and maybe make us look like, well, these guys don't know what they're talking about, right? Information does change in our world very quickly when it comes to public safety.
Right.
You know, we're not going to know the motive right away. We're not going to know every small detail right away. So that information trickles out just like, you know, I don't want to speak for the fire department, but they're not going to know that cause of the fire 20 minutes after the fire starts.
Right.
It's going to take them a few days, maybe a couple of weeks to investigate that.
With this alert then, when you're saying, since we wouldn't want everyone calling into 911, it will give them the access of, this is what we know so far, this is where you should go for more information.
Yeah, and social media is great, right? We talked about the negative
good
of social
media.
We talked
good
about the negative. We talked about the negative of social media being finding all of these inaccurate stories. But if we can give them a trusted social media to go to, whether it's a news site that we're feeding direct information to, or our own social media, whether it be Facebook or Twitter that Kevin and I are updating, they're going to get that accurate information and it's going to continue to be updated. You're not going to get 6, 7, 8 of these alerts back to back to back with updates. It's going to be the initial emergency, what you need to do, and there may be a follow-up one of everything is all clear, you can lift the shelter in place, or you can you know, go back to the area or resume your everyday activities. So we will put direction in there on where to find other information. It may be the township website. It may be maybe the police department's Twitter for the time being. So pros and cons.
It's important for people to know. So most of the time, social media is great, and it gets information out there. One of the things that's hard for people to understand is we don't have somebody that sits there and watch social media. A lot of times, especially if somebody is noticing something or wants to report something, they really should be calling 911.
Absolutely.
And not going on some of these apps saying, hey, somebody just stopped by my house. Do you think I should call?
Yeah.
They should. You know, so there's that. This way, we'll have somewhere where they know where to go. Nobody has to do some extra threads on all these other places. But one thing for people to know is there won't be someone sitting there responding to every single comment. Like you said, give us the grace.
Yeah,
right.
Give us the grace to know you're going to get updates. It won't be immediate. It won't be before we have accuracy. And I like that you say, we might put a notice out there saying, this is what's happening, we're going to come back, because a lot of people want that answer right away. Mm-hmm. I would rather wait a little longer to get the correct answer, because I have to be the one that often goes back and say, no, that was an early early assumption. This is what actually happened. And those conversations take longer sometimes the few minutes it would have taken to wait.
And these events don't always happen between 9 and 5, right? We're talking 3 a.m., middle of the night, and there's times where information comes to us, right? But I know, I'll use an example that if I put something out there, your constituents might reach out to you.
They do.
And they do.
Yeah.
The problem with that is if I put something out so quick that you haven't been notified because it's the middle of the night,
right?
And your constituents reach out to you, you need to be in the know too. So we have to we have to follow that. We can get the emergency alerts out, and then we can start briefing everyone that needs to be briefed on this situation. And then we can, again, update with accurate information as it comes in. Or in criminal cases, it may be a while because there's procedures we have to take. To protect people's rights and victims' rights and everything else. So there is procedures that we have to go through. But this system here is going to be a huge benefit for us, police and fire, our dispatch, to get emergency alerts out and to get them out quickly to multiple, sources of email and text messages. And people are going to be able to get that. And the sign-up is voluntary. We're not pushing these on people. It's not that Amber Alert that sets your phone off at 4 in the morning and scares you. It is voluntary, but we are encouraging people, if they want to be prepared, register today so they can see what we're doing. And registration's easy, and it's free, and it's voluntary, and you're going to get a lot of good info. And we hope actually you never get one.
I want to say when you register, make sure that you're not just putting an email and address, but you're putting down a phone number so we can alert your phone, because if it is an emergency, a lot of people don't get immediate notifications from their emails. Another thing I'd like to mention is if you're a business owner in the township, or maybe you have a family member in the township, you can register, make sure you use the address of the business or the home in the township. And then if you're not here, you can still get alerts that concern your business or your family members that are here.
One of the common questions I've gotten since we've launched this system last week was, why do I need to give an address, right? You've got my phone number, you've got my email address, why do you, and there's some negativity in there of, are you tracking, are you keeping lists, are you just trying to gather intel? That's not it at all.
Not at all.
With this system, it's so advanced that we're actually able that if there is a water main break, let's say down in the south end of the township, we can geofence that area, meaning we can go and send alerts just to people that are affected. Right. So our people in the north part of our township aren't getting alerts that don't affect them, right? If there's a boil water alert for just a small subdivision, the rest of our subdivisions don't need to know that. So that is why they ask for an address. It does help us to kind of target our audience. So there might be friends that you have in this community that are getting alerts that you aren't.
Right.
It's not because you didn't sign up right. It's because that alert maybe didn't affect your area that you live in.
And personally, I love that, because there are other systems where they almost over-notify to the point that you turn off the notifications, or
right. You
don't check it right away. Like those Amber Alerts, you hear them, you see them right away, because they don't report other things. So with this,
right. If
there is a constant, these five people need to be addressed, that helps you target it, you've reached them, and you're still engaging the others by not over-notifying. Because mm-hmm. that is one of the fears of something in this situation.
Absolutely. I mean, we're 26, 27 square miles.
Right.
A water main break or a gas leak isn't going to affect everybody.
Right.
So.
And we do get that a lot, too, even with we've been upgrading the system. Well, not we. DTE has been upgrading their system, and they'll tell us, hey, this street, these 10 houses, can you reach them? And other than knocking on a door or sending them a letter, which doesn't always get there very quickly nowadays, we didn't have a way. So this is a way that we can even give backup for other people's systems. Like DTE will be shutting down power for these 2 hours to change over the transformer. Or, consumer is going to be in your area turning down. So are those alerts that you could then send if somebody is in that area saying your water is going to be shut off or you will not have electricity for those 2 hours?
Yeah.
Just those areas.
If they meet our criteria, absolutely. If your power is going to be out for an hour, DTE takes precautions on people that have emergency medical equipment and things like that. But if it's going to be long term, you know, if it could be days without power or something that could really affect our community, absolutely. It could rise to the level of an alert going out to that affected community. And we'll do that.
Because I know when they have these planned alerts, we'll still get calls in, because even though they have some contact information, they don't always have a way other than mail sometimes to contact people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then everyone says, why is my power out? And because they want that answer quick, they come to you, they come to us. They don't always go straight to that other vendor.
Yeah. Now, I'm cautious in bringing this up. This system that we do use can pull from public information. And again, this is on the transparency side, so I want to be transparent with it. The system that we're using, which is powered by OnSolve, has the capabilities of pulling from the public side, meaning white pages and other publicly listed phone numbers and things like that, where we're able to send alerts to people that haven't signed up using that public database of white pages. As we've talked internally, that's not something we plan on doing unless we do have that catastrophic emergency.
Or something.
Yes. So I want people to be aware, like, I never signed up for this, but I'm getting an alert. If you're getting that alert and you never signed up, it's something catastrophic that we need to send something out. And again, that's just the transparency side of it. That is what this company does, which is why we've gone this route. And we'll use it as appropriate, but we're not going to overstep. We're not going to misuse it. And that's something we're very passionate about. Both chiefs are very passionate about. This isn't going to be open house this Saturday. Come down, right?
Right.
That's not what this
is.
And that's not
the app for our cable department.
Yes. And that's,
so there are apps for that. There will be.
That's not what this is going to be.
Correct.
And we're not going to, again, inundate people with information that they don't necessarily want, so they unsubscribe. Right. This is emergency.
Right.
Right. And they're non-competitive 100%. Apps. Like,
no.
This app is truly just emergencies, and then another app that we're currently in the process of making and coming out very soon is the app for community fun events.
There's no correlation between the two.
Right.
Yes,
and they shouldn't
compete,
so people can sign up for both. They won't get that risk of double alert unless it is something catastrophic. I'd rather hear twice. If, God forbid, something happens at the schools, I would love to hear even from 3 or 4 different factual information than to sit waiting, wondering what was happening.
Absolutely.
I know when our Blue Point alarm went off in 2019, when you mentioned people come to you, I was sitting in a Coney Island just having lunch, didn't know any of that was going on because I don't have children in the school system, and people started coming over saying, what's going on at the high school? I just got a call. And so trying to even just talk to the people right in your immediate vicinity, I could easily now say, hey, this is where you go based on this alert. Mm-hmm. This will help get it out so much faster.
Absolutely.
And I love that you two, I fully trust when it comes to not just transparency, but accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that when I reach out, I know, okay, this is right. I can run with it.
Yeah, I have zero problem saying I don't know.
Right.
Because there are times that I don't know.
Right.
Right. We're still gathering information.
We're still
fact finding. I don't know. When I know, I will let you know. And that's how we have to operate. Yeah. Otherwise, it's guesswork.
Right.
And there's no guesswork in our professions.
Right. And it's accuracy is more important than speed when it comes to correct information.
Absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely.
So I actually appreciate when someone says to me, I don't know yet. Give me some time, I'll get you the answer.
Yes. Yes.
That is, I respect that answer so much more than something they think you want to hear or the wrong information.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any, so where do they go if they want to sign up for this event?
Yes. Yeah, so
or sign up for this
signing
event?
Up for, we've tried to make this as easy as possible. It is third party. So the simplest way is you can text BT for Bloomfield Township, BT alerts to 24639, 24639. You text that code, they'll send you back a link right away to register. There's also a website. We'll get out there. It's on both of our social medias. It's coming out in the e-news. We've pushed it out to our local papers. Community-wide, we'll get that link out there. And we're going to start posting QR codes all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
The senior center, different events. So any event that you come to, if police and fire are there or you're on a township campus building, you'll be able to find this QR code and scan it. Go down to register. It asks you a few questions, name, first name, last name, your address, a phone number you want to use. You can use alternate phone numbers as well, and email addresses that, that you want to use. Mm-hmm. And as Kevin said, if you don't live here, you can still sign up for these. Again, it's transparency. We don't mind people outside of our community signing up,
right.
But you will need an address. So that could be, again, your business owners, use your business address. If you have an elderly loved one that lives up here and you're hearing about this system, use their address and sign up so you can know what's going on at your loved one's community or area. So absolutely, you know, when I started this position, I said, I'm the community relations officer. And the hardest thing you have to answer is, what is your community?
Right.
And I had to put a definition to that. And to me, our community, I said it over and over again, is anyone that works, lives, worships, or goes to school here in Bloomfield Township. So you might not live here, but you come here often or you drive through here. Yes, absolutely. You're a part of our community, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage everyone that wants to sign up. Again, it's voluntary. Sign up. Be prepared.
Right. And then when you talk about the community engagement, in addition to these alerts, some of the ways you can get information out, there are fun events as well.
Yes.
So I know you currently go to some HOA meetings and you go to some of the fun events that they have, food trucks and parades, and you're willing to take that on too.
I am. So. I have started doing the neighborhoods, and I go and meet at the colleges for recruiting and things like that. So feel free to reach out to me. My office number.
How would they get a hold of you?
My office number is 248-433-7747, and I can be reached at kcardinelli@bloomfieldtwp.org.
Great. Do you want to give out your information?
Yeah, absolutely. As well? So you can reach me anytime at my office, 248-433-7724. Or the easiest email to get a hold of me is cro@bloomfieldtwp.org. So CRO for Community Relations Officer at bloomfieldtwp.org. And we'll get back to you. And a lot of these HOA meetings, we love getting out there, meeting our community, letting them know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin and I are more than happy to double up, so you're not, you know, wasting two meetings on public safety, but we'll come out and we'll tailor them to what you want to talk about.
100%.
So if you have a problem in your community, we'll come out and talk about it, and we'll bring you some information on what we're doing and how we're pushing our services.
And what I tell people when I do the neighborhood events real quick is, I can be there for 15 minutes or I can be there for 2 hours. So I have a quick message that I get out, and it usually turns into conversing back and forth and a lot of questions. So whatever you need, we can tailor it.
Yeah. Great. Well, I appreciate you both taking time out of your day today for all of you do to protect us, both on the streets and in our homes. I really appreciate it. And again, please sign up. I am already signed up for these alerts as well. So please sign up. And again, reach out to both Nick and Kevin if you'd like them to come out and give you more information to your groups as well. Thank you so much for joining us today on In Focus, and we'll see you next time.